This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Today is the final day of the 2014 International AIDS Conference in Melbourne, Australia. The Malaysian airliner that was shot down over eastern Ukraine was headed to that conference. There was lots to talk about at the meeting. And this month, for example, a baby in Mississippi that was thought to be cured of HIV had the infection reappear, which just emphasized how little we still know about AIDS and HIV and how elusive a cure for AIDS remains. The World Health Organization issued a recommendation that at-risk men should take Truvada. That's a drug that could prevent HIV infection. And that announcement has stirred up a debate about the drug. How effective is it? Who should take it? Will it encourage people to stop using condoms? My next guest was at that conference. He is here to give us an update on the latest news in HIV and AIDS research and prevention. He is no stranger to Science Friday. Dr. Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Fauci.
Thank you, Ira. It's good to be with you.
Let's talk about some of the major issues people were talking about at the AIDS conference. Were there a few key ones you'd like to point out?
I think you mentioned two of the really key ones. The first is this issue with the Mississippi baby, which, as people might remember because of the great deal of publicity, was a baby who was born of an infected mother and started on therapy virtually immediately after birth. The mother had no therapy at all, so the baby was at high risk, and the baby was treated with a therapeutic dose within 30 hours of birth and treated for 18 months but lost to follow-up, and then came back 5 months later, and the clinicians and scientists couldn't find any virus in the baby, any replication-competent virus, thinking that perhaps this baby had been cured because of the very early aggressive treatment. As it turned out, 27 months went by in which they could not isolate the virus at all from the baby, thinking perhaps this was the first cure of a baby. But as it turned out, to a great disappointment, after 27 months and 46 months of age, the virus rebounded. That was really important. There was some good news about that, that it was a 27-month virological remission. But the critical issue is, as you alluded to in your introduction, it tells us really how inadequate our capability of isolating and determining the presence or absence of this viral reservoir, because by all our techniques, we couldn't figure out, we couldn't get virus out of the baby at all. And yet the virus did rebound after 27 months. So a cure is really quite elusive. We need to be careful that we don't jump to using the cure word too easily. We've had some sustained virologic remissions like we had in this baby, but a lot of work needs to be done in order to be thinking in terms of whether we really can cure anybody with HIV infection, despite the fact that the therapy is terrific in suppressing the virus and allow people to get back to healthy lives. But really eradicating that virus has been a major stumbling block.
Does it surprise you that we've been talking about this for 30 years now and we still are scratching our heads a bit about this virus?
You know, it doesn't surprise me, Ira. Yes, we've been at it for a very long period of time. As I mentioned just a moment ago, the therapies have been highly, highly effective in suppressing virus replication. But early on, we realized that unlike almost any other virus that we deal with, this retrovirus has the capability of inserting itself into the genes of a cell. And although you can suppress its replication, it is extremely difficult, and possibly that it's not able to completely eradicate it. There have been some attempts. So it's been really quite challenging and frustrating that as much progress as we've made, we can't eradicate the virus from an infected individual.
HIV diagnosis rates are actually dropping in the U.S., are they not?
Well, we're making, in the United States and even globally, substantial progress, as was discussed at the meeting in Melbourne that you mentioned. The very latest UNAIDS numbers came out literally a few days before the meeting started. And over the last 10 years, the number of new infections as well as the number of deaths have decreased by more than one-third. So that's extraordinary progress, particularly in the arena of getting treatment to people and not only saving their lives, but helping to prevent them from infecting others by bringing the level of their virus mm-hmm. to very low and undetectable levels.
Speaking of treatments, last week the World Health Organization recommended that men who have sex with men should take a drug called Truvada. Does that work? What is that?
Truvada is a single pill that contains two antiretroviral drugs, tenofovir and emtricitabine. And it is a drug that has been used for years effectively to treat already infected, HIV-infected individuals. But a clinical trial was done some time ago which showed that if you give a pill a day to individuals, and this study was gay men, but it's been done in other demographic groups, that if you take a pill a day, it dramatically diminishes the likelihood that you will get infected when you're in a high-risk situation. So if used properly, it's highly effective. One of the problems with this particular approach to prevention is that the adherence to taking a pill a day has not been good in some circles. Mm-hmm. And so the drug is only good if you use it, but if you use it, the efficacy is over 90% in preventing infection.
Hmm. Our number 844-724-8255, talking with Dr. Anthony Fauci, Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. I want to bring on another guest who works with patients with HIV and AIDS and prescribes Truvada. Antonio Urbina is the Associate Medical Director at the Institute for Advanced Medicine, Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, and he's here in our CUNY studio. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira.
How many of your patients are on Truvada?
You know, total we have about 150 patients right now on Truvada, and that kind of contrasts to last year only having about 10.
Wow. And how well does it work on them?
Well, you know, I mean, in the patients that we're seeing right now, if they do adhere to daily medications, we haven't seen any seroconversion. So nobody that has been prescribed Truvada has actually converted yet.
Mm-hmm. But do you find the problem that Dr. Fauci was talking about, keeping them on the daily dose?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big issue. Because the one big thing with Truvada is that you have to kind of onboard it for at least a week to reach these fully protective levels, and then you have to maintain on it. So if you're having ongoing high risk and you're interrupting therapy, and then one can acquire HIV. So I think just like with HIV medications, with people with HIV, adherence is really crucial.
Any side effects?
You know, so far in the studies, they seem really mild. It's headache, a little bit of abdominal pain and weight loss, but those only last for about 2 weeks, and typically they resolve in a month. There are some other potential toxicities, maybe some decrease in bone mineral density, and then you have to look out for acute kidney injury. Mm. But again, in the studies, it looks very safe.
Dr. Fauci, you know, if this is an effective deterrent to HIV, is HIV smart enough that it could mutate to something worse?
Well, first of all, you got to remember that you're giving it in this circumstance to prevent infection. Mm-hmm. And the virus will only mutate if it is in a person and it is not adequately treated or spontaneously mutating. So if somebody, as was just described, takes their medications faithfully and they do not get infected, mutation and resistance is not a problem because they're not infected.
Mm-hmm. There's some debate, and people have been talking about this, about whether this will tell people who are using Truvada, well, it's safe not to use condoms anymore.
That's an issue that I think let's not the perfect be the enemy of the good. We know from a study that was actually presented in Melbourne called the IPREX OLE study for open label extension, in which they looked specifically at the issue of whether or not when people do take Truvada for prevention, whether they increase risky behavior or not. And it was very clear that they don't. So it looks like people who are going to take this who don't use condoms are not going to use condoms anyway. And the people who use condoms generally continue to use condoms. So although that's a consideration that it might make people prone to increase risky behavior, the reality is that it doesn't seem to do that.
Dr. Urbina, agree?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say that in the clinical trials so far, we haven't seen what Dr. Fauci described as risk compensation, meaning that patients that are taking Truvada are going to engage in higher risk or more condomless behavior. We don't just know in the real world what's going to happen. But again, I kind of agree with Dr. Fauci. Let's not let the enemy of the good be perfect. We already know that high-risk populations are having condomless sex, that in certain populations, HIV incidence is increasing, like in young gay men. So why not give them something, another tool that they can use to really prevent HIV?
Is this still in the testing phases, this drug, or is it just general prescription use now?
General prescription use. It's been FDA approved. Any primary care provider, any physician can prescribe Truvada.
It seems like, you know, this is the first time a lot of people have heard about this. I've been asking people about it. Why do you think that is?
Yeah,
Dr. Urbina.
I mean, it's been approved for a while. I think there's been a little bit of hesitancy with actual prescribers about it. I still think there's stigma about its use. What does it mean to prescribe Truvada to a patient? Does it mean that we're going to encourage unsafe, risky behavior? So I still think within the medical community, there's still a little bit of hesitation about it. And then I think with patients, we don't really see a big drive of, like, people at high risk coming to physicians quite just yet. There's only been about 2,300 prescriptions so far in the U.S. The majority of them have been, half of them have been in women, right, and women in the South. So not a lot in gay men.
Why is that? That's interesting to hear that. I would think that, you know, by word of mouth, it would have, you know, people be talking about it.
Yeah, no, I still think there's some concerns about, wow, taking a pill every day, what does that mean? Toxicity, side effects. How does that label me as an individual? Does that mean that I'm somebody that's going to be promiscuous, you know? So again, I still think there's a lot of stigma both on the provider and also the patient side about onboarding this, you know, really game changer.
Is it covered by health insurance?
You know it is. Medicaid covers it. Commercial insurance covers it. You know, the thing is that depending on the actual commercial insurance, there's a copay. So, you know, patients may have to pay anywhere from, let's say, $5 to $60 a month. And then if they have coinsurance and they have an actual deductible, I've heard about patients having to pay down like $1,000 in order to be prescribed Truvada. So it really depends on the insurance. But really, to date, all insurances cover it.
Let's go to the phones, 844-724-8255. Wayne in Albuquerque. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. So my husband and I, we started Truvada about 10 months ago now. And the reason that we did so is that as a couple, we like to engage in sexual behavior with other people outside of our relationship, and we wanted to protect ourselves further. And when we did the research on it, we found out that our insurance plan, it covers 90 days for us for only $40. And so I think the word's starting to get out that because it was classified as a prophylactic, most insurance companies are picking it up and they're covering it to varying degrees. But I'm really glad that y'all have this topic out there, because there actually in the gay community has been sort of a sense of almost shaming for going deliberately and looking and asking your doctor for Truvada, or also known as PrEP, because there have been concerns that it's going to increase behavior, but it's actually been squelching the health message that it's out there.
I'm Ira Flato. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Dr. Urbina, a reaction to that?
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, I think that's a great use of PrEP. Here we have a couple that's accepting that they're having, you know, sex outside of their relationship that may put them at risk. So why not do something proactive to actually prevent HIV infection? I think that the risk from just daily Truvada are very, very minimal compared to the risk from actual HIV infection. The one thing with PrEP is that you have to commit to being screened and to getting HIV testing every 3 months. Truvada is inadequate therapy for HIV infection. So if someone is HIV, someone on PrEP becomes HIV infected and stays on Truvada, then they can really risk developing resistance. So again, PrEP really equals primary care. You have to commit to an actual relationship with your provider because you need to be screened for HIV infection.
Let's even get one quick call from John in San Francisco. Hi, John.
Thank you. Hi. I am somewhat conflicted about Truvada being used as a PrEP, simply because I think there are a lot of people who are infected who could use the drug, and those that don't need the drug are kind of buying it, and it's sort of a boon for Gilead to sell it as such. And for someone who is HIV positive and taking medication, you know, who found out late in life, I think that you know, it's a different story from this side, and I just feel like it was a mistake for them to present it as a prep, as a product. Mm-hmm. Just my opinion. So if I could have a comment, I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I am understanding those concerns. We definitely have a lot of people with HIV infection that need treatment. Out of our 1.1 million persons infected, only 28% of those have an undetectable viral load. So definitely treatment as actual prevention is important, so making sure that we have access to those people. But again, we have these kind of stubborn rates of new HIV infections, especially in young gay, black, and also Hispanic men. I think it's a viable prevention option for patients that we can use alongside other kind of prevention strategies, condoms, post-exposure prophylaxis, et cetera. It's just, I think, one more element, one more tool that we can provide patients to really remain negative. Because I know it's difficult to change behavior, it's difficult to change sexual practices. And if we have an intervention that can be, you know, upwards to 90% effective, I think it's something that we should at least have a conversation about. Mm.
Dr. Fauci, you agree?
I agree totally, totally. If there's another example of a tool in our armamentarium of protection that we should use. It's there, and if used properly, it's a very, very important and highly effective way to prevent infection.
Do you think there'll be any pushback from conservative organizations who don't think that possibly federal money should be helping support homosexual behavior?
Well, that's always a situation in some quarters, but that's just, you know, human nature and life. We need to move on from that. The issue here is the virus is the problem and the enemy, not the people. So to react against people and how they live their lives, I think, is not appropriate. We need to figure out how we can stop the spread of this virus. And pre-exposure prophylaxis, treatment is prevention, condom use, all of those together will ultimately put an end to the AIDS pandemic. That's what we should really be concentrating on.
Dr. Rubini, any words for your patients or potential patients?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think really that this information has to get out there to the consumers, but also to the healthcare providers. So I know here at actually in New York State, we have a program here at the New York State Department of Health, the actual clinical education initiative, and we will train providers on the use of PrEP. You know, it just can't be the HIV specialists and the ID specialists that are prescribing these medications. These are HIV negative individuals. It has to be part of primary care. We need the primary care docs, family practitioners, internists, OBGYNs. They really need to be educated about this really effective prevention tool.
So that they might bring it up themselves.
Absolutely, to their patients, yes.
Right. Thank you both very much, Dr. Fauci. Anthony Fauci, Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIH in Bethesda, and Antonio Urbina, Associate Medical Director at the Institute for Advanced Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital here in New York. Thank you. Thank you both for taking
time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ira.